We are still studying wisdom. We don't have to go there, but we're still studying Luke 7:35. Let's go. We're looking at wisdom and spiritual matters. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2.
See, what we just talked about in relation to what we're going to talk about is significant, because you can't hear these things about wisdom with the mind of a Gentile intending to use this wisdom in your worldly affairs.
You have to use this wisdom in your spiritual life, because otherwise you'll think there's spirit and flesh. Everything are spirit and natural. To the spiritual man, all things are spiritual. To the natural man, nothing is, except in their imagination, in their philosophy.
It's the hearing correctly, or right hearing, or some word.
Well, again, remember, we are constructed so that what we hear is what we see. What we see is what we do. What we touch, we have dominion over. What you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. And what gives you worth, the only thing that gives us worth is the blood of Christ.
That's the perfect sentence for walking in the Spirit, seeing all things as of Him, by Him, for Him. It's all hearing and seeing.
And never leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
1 Corinthians 2, one verse. This is where Paul's speaking. He said in verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power," or efficacy is what that says, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power or ability of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Or as in Jeremiah and Isaiah, it says, "for them that wait on Him." Now, therefore, wisdom is somehow coupled with waiting. And waiting on Him is probably the rarest thing in a believer. You wait for a while and then you faint. You quit in your mind and you return to leaning on your own arm of understanding. And you do it in a thousand ways. You do it with whatever has grabbed your attention. And that's where the war must be. But wisdom.
With wisdom, because when you think of Christ, you know, who is wisdom, and what did He do? He walked in waiting.
It's almost as if obedience, even from birth, has always been a challenge for us.
Well, that's because of the fall. And then just go back real quickly. In chapter 1, verse 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. He is those things. He doesn't do those things, or give us those things. He is those things. Let's go to we're going to take a side trip here. Let's go to Acts 20 something. This is where Paul is testifying of his conversion. We've read it many times, Acts 26. He's before King Agrippa. And in verse 12, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And a better translation of that is, it's hard for you to continue to resist the divine impulse. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? He didn't know he was Lord in the context of what we think of as Lord, but he said he knew he was something greater than him, so he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. The only thing he saw in that moment was Jesus Christ, and the only thing he was to testify of was the things in which he appeared unto him. If he did not appear unto him, and he didn't testify of it, because that would just be empty words, no matter how. You understand that? He's only testifying of him. The thing he just saw, which was him, and that which he would appear unto him in the future. And that is wisdom. There is no other wisdom from God's standpoint. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spirituals and gifts, isn't in the text concerning the spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now we see people every day saying that Jesus is Lord. They're saying the words, just like they pray supposedly in the name of Jesus, because they say in the name of Jesus. That's not what this means. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And that means that he is, that means that the kingdom of God is here. Everything is finished. Everything is perfect. You've been perfected by one offering and everything else that we teach. You cannot say that. Just like you cannot say that Jesus Christ is in you except by the Spirit of God. Everything else, every other spirit, is a spirit of Antichrist. So these aren't light sayings, like words. Oh, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus, so I run around and everything, in the name of Jesus, give me this. No. If there were a demon there, he would say, I know Paul, but who are you? Amen? You understand that, Mr. Chisholm? All right.
You say with your life, not with your lips.
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So what is this word of wisdom? And what is this word of knowledge? It has nothing to do with what you see. The word of wisdom would be to tell you an area of your life that wasn't him. And the word of knowledge would be what you do about it. But all this crap that goes on in the name of God, oh, I've got, by the Spirit of God, God is telling me that Mr. Chisholm has a bunion. Well, you know, that's just silly.
I thought these were other directed. So what you just said was their inner directed.
They're directed towards seeing in others. That's the word of wisdom.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's go, but it's always about Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with anything else. All right. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Where's Ronnie? Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, that's why he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. That's why the word born again, that's not what it says. It says born from above, but a better translation of is you must have been born from the first estate. You must know that you've been with him that's from the beginning, before the beginning. That's why the progression of going from the child to the young, to the teenager, to the young adult, to the father. When it gets to the father, it says, the fathers are those that know that they've been with him from the very beginning. They've been with him, in him. But it's from the standpoint of their flesh, they were Cain, who killed Abel. They were Nimrod, who chased down all the believers. They're Herod, who crucified Christ. You understand? But you know that because you are flesh. You are a part of the first Adam. And now you are part of the last Adam. You were part of the first Adam from the very beginning, and now you are part of the last Adam from the very beginning. And the fathers are the only ones that can reproduce. The young men can reproduce, but well, never mind, I won't go there. All right, continuing.
I just have another connection here that this is part of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Is we know him because of being in him. We're connected to every believer before us.
Amen.
Verse
5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Remember, the word adoption is huiothesios, means the placing of the fullness of the Son by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of the glory of his name. I can talk. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, prudence is a bad translation, it should be understanding, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Amen? Remember, his own right arm. He looked and there was no man. So his own zeruah, his own seed, has gotten him the victory. And that is wisdom. But therefore, the true wisdom of God must have as its predicate your death. Now that's big. It's as big as it gets. Amen? What, John?
This is the wisdom of God talking about. And do we aspire to that?
If any man lack wisdom, let him ask in faith, and he'll get it. So we'll get to that in a minute.
You only aspire in waiting, not in effort.
The wisdom of man?
Meaningless.
No, that's foolishness.
Meaningless? Meaningless?
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now he's saying there's two kinds of people. One requires a sign, and the other seeks after wisdom. They're not just Greeks and Jews. Do you understand that? But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, as unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise of those with wisdom. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing those things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The wisdom of the world can be a stumbling block. But you had to come to the end of the wisdom of the world. I thought the wisdom of the world had to do with politics and political power. And so I devoted my existence at that time to understanding how you get people elected. And it's just foolishness. It means nothing. It was necessary for me to come to the end of that, just as it's necessary for you to come to the end of whatever you or aspired after with regard to wisdom. Okay?
Last week, I think in Acts, I can't remember, we read a scripture about the Greeks complaining because their widows weren't being taken care of.
Right.
The way that the Jews were.
It's Acts 6.
It's 6?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm going to ask you about?
Probably. Well, go ahead. Acts 6. Look unto you, the seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. We're not talking about the wisdom of the world.
I certainly understand that. I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm just trying to understand.
No, that's good.
I certainly can see a differentiation between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. I mean, that's obvious. Certainly on a representative basis, man is nothing. But in this, if I recall this, I mean, the apostles were saying, these people need help, and here we are working, basically. They call it serving tables. So they look for those seven men. But they wanted men who were full of the Holy Ghost, but also whom we may appoint over this business. So whom we may appoint over this business. I mean, they weren't just looking for anyone. They wanted someone with some wisdom.
Yeah, but it's not... But one of the gifts of the Spirit that's Kauf talks about is administration.
So this administration is different than?
It's different than the world's administration, yeah.
Okay.
The reason is that the wisdom of man always ends up in some way with the I motive. Even the wisdom of trying to help people still basically has the I motive. The wisdom of God never has the I motive, and that's really the big difference. Okay?
And the wisdom of man, even though it appears pure, always seems to have some form of manipulation.
Yeah, because it has the I motive. The I is in there. That's why when the scriptures say that we will sing a new song. What's the new song? We'll sing a song without the I motive. You know, if you hear many religious songs, they're all the I motive. It makes me crazy when I listen to them. You understand? It sounds, the I motive isn't necessarily selfishness. But eventually it'll turn back to putting the eyes on yourself. That's why the dying to self thing is critical, because it tests whether or not you're going to put anything back on. I'm going to read it. I know I shouldn't, but I haven't read it for a long time. I think I tore it up or something. Does anybody have it in their Bible?
In our stolen Bibles.
Hmm?
In our stolen Bibles.
Oh, that's right. Ah! I didn't tear it up. It is torn.
We can fix that for you.
I know. Dying to self is the wisdom of God, really. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting or hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence. That is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, any annoyance. I hate these things. And I wrote it. Any impunctuality, any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any climate, any interruption, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own words, when you are uncomfortable with commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature, and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising within your heart, that is dying to self. In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross, that I may know him, being made conformable unto his death.
While you were reading any annoyance, I sit over here in a perfect location to be totally annoyed by this air conditioner every morning. I was thinking while you're, because I'm not fond of this. Yeah. And so I quit resisting it. And I said, okay, I'm going to let that go. And the minute I let it go, I saw that it's the thing that causes me to have to focus. Because if I want to hear anything, I've got to focus and not be wandering. And it was like it serves its purpose. And the minute I came to that, it shut off.
I said, all right. That's enough for today. Where did we stop, Mr. Senate?
1 Corinthians 1:18-22.
No, the one before that.
Ephesians 1:1-9.
All right. Thank you. All right, anybody have any? Anything else? We gonna meet? I don't think there's any reason to meet. All right, take it, big guy.